The Wonderful Wizard of Oz by L. Frank Baum. Chapter 13, The Rescue. The Cowardly Lion was much pleased to hear that the Wicked Witch had been melted by a bucket of water, and Dorothy at once unlocked the gate of his prison and set him free. They went in together to the castle, where Dorothy's first act was call all the Winkies together and tell them they were no longer slaves. There was great rejoicing among the yellow Winkies, for they have been made to work hard during many years for the Wicked Witch, who had always treated them with great cruelty. They kept this day as a holiday, then and ever after, and spent the time in feasting and dancing.
If our friends the Scarecrow and Tin Man were only with us, said Lion, I should be very quite happy.
Don't you suppose we could rescue them? Asked the girl anxiously.
We can try, answered the Lion.
So they called the Yellow Winkies and asked them if they could help to rescue their friends. The Winkies said they would be delighted to do all in their power for Dorothy, who had set them free from bondage. So she chose a number of Winkies who looked as if they knew the most, and they all started away, travelled that day and part of the next, till they came to Rocky Plain, where the Tin Woodman lay, all battered and bent, his axe was near him. The blade was rusted, the handle broken off short. The Winkies lifted him tenderly in their arms and carried him back to the Yellow Castle again. Dorothy, shedding a few tears by the way, a sad fight of an old friend, Lions looking so sober and sorry. When they reached the castle, Dorothy said to the Winkies, Are any of your people tinsmiths?
Oh, yes, some of us are very good tinsmiths, they told her.
Then bring them to me, she said. And when the tinsmiths came, bringing with them all the tools and baskets, she cried, Can you straighten out those dents, little tin woodman? And bend him back into shape again, solder him together where he's broken. Tinsmith looked at the tin woodman ever carefully and answered they thought they could mend him, so he'd be as good as ever. He was set to work in one of the big yellow rooms of the castle, worked for 3 days and 4 nights, hammering and twisting and bending and soldering, and polishing and pounding the legs and body and head of the tin woodman, till at last he was straightened out into his old form. His joints worked as well as ever. To be sure, there were several patches on him, but Tim Smith did a good job. As Woodman was not a vain man, he did not mind the patches at all. When at last he walked into Dorothy's room, thanked her for rescuing him. He was so pleased that he wept tears of joy. Dorothy had to wipe every tear carefully from his face with her apron, so his joints would not be rusted. Same time, her own tears fell thick and fast, joy meeting her old friend again. These tears did not need to be wiped away. As a Lion, he wiped his tears so often, the tip of his tail came quite wet. He was obliged to go out in the courtyard, hold it in the sun till it dried. If only that we had the Scarecrow with us again, said the Tin Woodman. Dorothy had finished telling him everything that had happened. I should be quite happy. We must try to find him, said the girl. She called the Winkies to help her. They walked all the day and part of the next. They came to the tall tree, branches which were winged monkeys, that tossed the Scarecrow clothes. The very small, tall tree. Trunk was so smooth that no one could climb it. The Woodman said at once, I'll chop it down and then we can get the Scarecrow's clothes. Now what a tinsmiths had been at work of mending the woodsmen together, the woodsman himself. Another of the Winkies was a goldsmith and made an axe handle of a solid gold fitted on a woodsman's axe instead of an old broken handle. I always polished the blade until it all rust was removed, glistened like burnished silver. As soon as he spoke, the tin woodman began to chop, and in a short time the tree fell over with a crash, whereupon Scarecrow's clothes fell out the branches and rolled off on the ground. Dorothy picked them up, had the Winkies carry them back to the castle, where they were stuffed with nice clean straw Behold, here was the Scarecrow, as good as ever, thanking him over and over again for saving him. Now that we're reunited, Dorothy and her friends spent a few happy days at Yellow Castle, where they found everything they needed to make them comfortable. But one day the girl thought about them and said, "We must go back to Oz and claim his promise." "Yes," said Woodman, "at least I shall get my heart." "I shall get my brains," added the Scarecrow joyfully. "I shall get my courage," said the Lion thoughtfully. "I shall get back to Kansas," said quite Dorothy, clapping her hands. "Oh, let us start for the Emerald City tomorrow." This they decided to do. Next day they called the Winkies together and bade them goodbye. The Winkies were sorry to have them go. They had grown so fond of the Tin Woodman, and they begged him to stay and rule over them and the Yellow Land of the West. Finding they were determined to go, the Winkies gave Toto and Lion each a golden collar. To Dorothy they presented a beautiful bracelet studded with diamonds, and to Scarecrow they gave a gold-headed walking stick to keep him from stumbling, and then to the oil Tin Woodman he offered a silver oil can laid with gold and seven precious jewels. Every one of the travellers weighed the Winkies a pretty peach in return. They all shook hands with them until their arms ached. Dorothy went to the witch's cupboard to fill her basket with food for the journey. There she saw the golden cap. She tried it on her own head and found it fitted her exactly. She did not know anything about the charm of the golden cap, but she saw it was pretty, so she made up her mind to wear it and carry her sunbonnet in the basket. Then, being prepared for the journey, they all started for Emerald City. The Winkies gave them 3 cheers and many wishes to carry with them. Chapter 14. The Winged Monkeys. You remember there were no road, not even a pathway, between the castle of the Wicked Witch and the Emerald City. The four travellers went in search of the witch. They had seen them come in, and so sent the winged monkeys to bring them to her. It was much harder to find their way back through the big fields of the buttercups and yellow daisies than it was being carried. They knew, of course, they must go straight east towards the rising sun. They started off in the right way. By the noon, when the sun was over their heads, they did not know which was east or which was west, and that was the reason they were lost in the great fields. They kept on walking over, and night the moon came out and shone brightly, so they lay down among the sweet-smelling yellow flowers and slept soundly till morning, all but Scarecrow and Tin Woodman. Next morning, sun became behind a cloud, but they all started on. As they were quite sure which way they were going, "We walk far enough," said Dorothy. "I'm sure we shall sometime come to some place." But day by day passed away, and they still saw nothing before them but scarlet fields. The Scarecrow began to grumble a bit. "We have surely lost our way," he said. "Unless we find it again in time to reach whatever city, I should never get my brains, nor my heart," declared the Tin Woodman. "See to me, I can scarcely wait till I get to Oz, and you must admit this is a very long journey." "You see," said the Curly Lion, with a whimper, "I haven't the courage to keep tramping forever without getting anywhere at all." Then Dorothy lost heart. She sat down on the grass and looked at the companions. They sat down and looked at her. Toto found that for the first time in his life, he was too tired to chase a butterfly. That flew past his head. He put out his tongue and panted, and looked at Dorothy as if to ask what they should do next. "Suppose he could call the field of mice," he suggested. "They'd probably tell us the way to the Emerald City." "To be sure they could," cried the Scarecrow. "Why didn't we think of that before?" Dorothy blew the little whistle she had always carried about her neck since the Queen of Mice had given it to her. A few minutes they heard the pattering of tiny feet, and many small grey mice came running up to her. Among them was Queen herself, who asked, in a squeaky little voice, "What can I do for you, my friends?" "We have lost our way," said Dorothy. "Can you tell us where the Emerald City is?" "Certainly," answered the Queen. "But it's a great way off For you have you had you for you have had it at your backs all this time.
Then she noticed Dorothy's golden cap and said, "Why didn't you use the charm, the cap, and call the magic mean monkeys to you?
They'll carry you to the City of Oz in less than an hour." "I didn't know that there was a charm,"
answered Dorothy in surprise.
"What is it?"
"It's written inside the golden cap," replied the Queen of the Mice. "But if you are going to call the winged monkeys, you must run away. They are full of mischief and might think it great fun to plague us."
"Won't they hurt me?"
asked the girl anxiously.
"Oh no, they must obey the wearer of the gold, the cap. Goodbye."
She scampered out of sight, with all the mice hurrying after her. Dorothy looked inside the golden cap, saw some words written upon the lining. These, she thought, must be the charm. So she read directions carefully, put the cap upon her head. "Pee-pee, pee-pee, cap-pee," she said, standing to her left foot.
"What did you say?"
asked the scarecrow. "Did I know what she's doing?"
"Hilly-ho, low, hilly-lo, hilly-lo."
Dorothy went on, standing this time on her right foot.
"Hello," replied Wiseman, what said Wiseman calmly.
"Zizzy, zazzy, zink," said Dorothy, who was now standing on both feet. This ended that saying the charm. They heard a great clattering of flapping of wings. Then the winged monkeys flew up to them, kicking about his head, blowed low before Dorothy, and asked, "What is your command?"
"We should go to Emerald City," said the child.
"We have lost our way."
"We will carry you," replied the king.
And no sooner he spoke than the two of the monkeys caught Dorothy in their arms and flew away with her. Others took the scarecrow, the woodsman, a lion, and one of the monkeys seized Toto and flew after them, although the dog tried hard to bite him. Then the scarecrow and Tin Woodman were rather frightened at first. They remembered how badly the winged monkeys had treated them before. They saw that no harm was intended. They rode through the air quite cheerfully and had a fine time looking at the pretty gardens and woods far below them. Dorothy found herself riding easy between two of the biggest monkeys, one of them the king himself. They made a chair of their hands and careful not to hurt her. "Why do you have to obey the charm, the golden cap?" she asked.
"That's a long story," answered the quick king, a winged laugh. "But we have a long journey before us. I shall pass the time by telling you about it, if you wish."
"I shall be glad to hear it," she replied. "Once," began the leader, "we were free people, living happily in the great forest, flying from tree to tree, eating nuts and fruit, doing just as we please and without calling anybody master. Perhaps some of us were rather too full of mischief at times, flying down to pull the tails of animals that had no wings, chasing birds and throwing nuts at people walked in the forest. But we were careless and happy and full of fun, enjoyed every minute of the day. This was many years ago, long before Oz came out of the clouds to rule over this land. I lived here then, away in the north, a beautiful princess who was also a powerful sorceress. All the magic was used to help the people. She never known to hurt anyone who was good. She was never known to hurt anyone who was good. Her name was Gaelette. She lived in a handsome palace built with great blocks of ruby. Everyone loved her. Her greatest sorrow was she could not find no one to love her love in return, since all the men were much too stupid and ugly to mate with so beautiful with one so beautiful wives. At last ever she found a boy who was handsome, manly, and wide beyond his years. Gaelette made her mind that when he grew to be a man, she'd make him a husband. So she took him to a ruby palace and used all the magic powers to make him as strong and good lovely as any woman could wish. When he grew to manhood, Quindella, he was called, was said to be the best and wisest man in the land, all the land. While his manly beauty was so great, Gaelette loved him dearly, hastened to make everything ready for the wedding. My grandfather was at the time the king of the winged monkeys, who lived in the forest near Gaelette's palace. The old fellow loved a joke, better than a good dinner. One day, just before the wedding, my grandfather was flying out with his band, saw Quintella. walking beside the river. He was dressed in a rich costume, silk and purple velvet. My grandfather thought he would see what he could do. At his word, a man flew down, seized Quintella, carried him into the arms until he was over the middle of the river, then dropped him into the water. "Swim out, my fair fellow," cried my grandfather, "and see the water has spotted your clothes." Quintella was much too wise not to swim. He was not in the least spoiled by all his good fortune. He laughed when he came to the top of the water and swam to shore. And when Gazelle came running out for him, he found his silks of velvet all ruined by the river. Princess angry, she knew, of course, who did it. She had all the winged monkeys brought before her, and she said at first that their wings should be tied, they should be treated, they had treated Cadella, and dropped in the river. But my grandfather pleaded hard, for he knew the monkeys would drown in the river, with wings tied. Quilla said a kind word for them also, so the Galetta finally spared them, on condition winged monkeys should ever after go do three things three times. The bidding of the owner, the golden cat. His cap had been made for a wedding present to the Quintella. It's said to have cost the princess half a kingdom. Of course, my grandfather and all the other monkeys at once agreed to condition. Isn't that how it happens? We are three times the slaves of the golden cat, whoever she may be. What became of them? So asked Dorothy, who was greatly interested in the story. Quintella, being the first owner of the golden cat, replied the monkey, he is the first to lay his wishes upon us. As his bride could not bear the sight of us, he called us all to him in the forest after he married her and ordered us always to keep her where she would never again set eyes on the winged monkey, which we were glad to do, and we were afraid of her. This is after all, this is all we ever had to do with the golden cat fell in the hands of the wicked witch of the west, who made us her slave winkies, and afterward drive Oz herself out of the land of the west. Now the golden cap is yours, and three times you have the right to say your wishes upon us. As the Quinky King finished the story, Dorothy looked down and saw the green, shining walls Emma was sitting before them. She wandered in rapid flight the monkeys, but she was glad the journey was over. The strange monk creature set the travellers down carefully for the gate of the city. The king bowed low to Dorothy, then flew swiftly away, followed by all his band. That was a good ride, said the little girl. Yes, a quick way out of our troubles, replied the lion. How lucky it was you brought long way that wonderful cat.